Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop, Ali Moreno and Frank LaBeouf. Blooming heck, what a day. Later on in the programme, we'll talk about Cristiano Ronaldo leaving Manchester United. We might even cover as well France doing okay against Australia. But there's only one place to start today as we welcome in Jan Arge Fjortoff, but it's all about Pablo Zabaleta. Pablo, how are you?
You'll be waiting for me today after that Argentina defeat. Come on, we have Saba tonight. Well, what are they to have Saba on there?
Where did it all go wrong for you, Pablo? Not in life, with us. For Argentina today.
No, in life as well. Look at me, I'm 37, no hair. Look, I have a green beard. Like, terrible life.
Don't worry, it's not going to get better.
Right, don't
interrupt. Well, listen, Dan, one of those days, obviously, nobody really expected Argentina to lose against Saudi Arabia, especially because before the World Cup, everyone was saying Argentina was one of the favorites to win, and that 36 game unbeaten and all that sometimes lets people talk too much, but something we have learned today is that the World Cup is one of those tournaments that you cannot really underestimate any team because that's why they're all here, because they have good players, they can perform well. And credit to Saudi Arabia because they I think they were very brave. They high-lined, they were pressing high up the field, aggressive. Well done to Saudi Arabia because that second half performance from them been brilliant.
What was really striking in that second half, Pablo, is once they went 2-1 up, Argentina just looked absolute panic. You could just see it amongst everyone. No one quite knew what was happening or what to do.
Yes, absolutely. And it was, one of those players, Paredes, De Paul, Alejandro Gomez, those players that we ever have seen, you know, being good at the ball, they can effectively pass the ball. Messi, they've not been at their best. You know, they gave the ball away a couple of times very cheaply, and that's why we haven't seen a good combination around the 18-yard box. So many balls in behind, that back four that's... They kept the line really well because in the first half we have seen Di Maria and Lautaro Martinez so many times being offside. And I don't know, it was very difficult to Argentina today to find a way to create good chances and to win the game.
Who's getting the blame in Argentina for this, Pablo?
Nobody. I think we all need to support Messi, the team, Scaloni, because listen, before the game, three games unbeaten, everyone, talking really well about the national team, everyone happy, the expectation really high, and all that. So I hopefully it's one of those days, as I say, that's a bad day at the office. I don't want to blame anybody. I just want to, hopefully they can recover, they can learn from today's game, see what went wrong. And they hopefully they can improve for next Saturday against Mexico because it's going to be another tough game. That result of Mexico and Poland being good for Argentina. So hopefully they can put a better performance that today.
There are bad days at the office, and there's this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, if we're going to give credit to Saudi Arabia, okay, fine. But how about for Argentina, when we think about their struggles today, one of the things that was most surprising is their inability to figure out the high line that Pablo just mentioned. Their inability to understand timing of runs, their inability to understand that there was so much space behind that back line that you didn't have to be perfect with your timing. How about you give yourself a couple of yards? How about you run across the defenders and then you make that darting run? Their inability to understand that guess what? I don't have to be on the shoulder of the defender. In fact, I'm better off giving myself that couple of yards or having runs from deep in order to be able to exploit all that space that was available. Because as good as Saudi Arabia's press was at times, there were moments in which there was a high line with no pressure on the ball and Argentina was unable to complete those passes. And they were unable to find a solution. They were unable, for me, and what I saw, they were unable to figure out, okay, how do I stay onside? This is Angel Di Maria we're talking about. Very experienced players. You cannot be offside 100 times like he was today in the first half. You just can't do it. And if you're Lautaro Martinez, sometimes you come and show for the ball, sometimes you go. If he shows, somebody's going to run beyond them. Somebody's got to make that run from the midfield. It wasn't happening from Paredes. It wasn't happening from De Paul. It happened from Messi once. That's when his goal was called off. But it wasn't happening with consistency. It wasn't coming from Alejandro Papu Gomez either. And so you're saying, these are guys with high-level experience, yeah, with high-level IQ, and a high line without pressure on the ball, and somehow you're not able to figure that out. Honestly, I think it comes down to something that it's no team, I think, it's absolved from this, and that is overlooking the opposition.
Right. They're complacent.
The fact that you go up 1-0, you're getting chances, goals are getting called off, so it's only a matter of time before we score the second one, so you just kind of overlook. And this is what happens when you've been unbeaten for 36 times. You expect that things are going to be resolved and figured out on the field and that you're going to be okay. You got to execute. Argentina did not execute, and they allow Saudi Arabia to have life. And when you allow a team to have life, now this group of players in Saudi Arabia, all of a sudden they're running everywhere with energy, with intensity. They're getting to every ball. They're getting to every 50-50 ball. And Argentina are like, oh, wait a minute. These guys are here to compete against us. Surprised that they were there to compete, and they were unable to answer the call.
I want to give credit to Hervé Renard, the Saudi Arabia coach, because he took so many risks today, playing high, you say, on the field, counting on the laziness of some players, and the fact that yesterday we were talking about Jude Bellingham being able to, from the midfield zone, to go forward, to help, and to get into the space that Kane was creating. Argentina doesn't have a player like that. So he knew that nobody would jump and go over and their defense. So he played high on the field. It worked very well. It was very risky, but he did. And he created something very positive into the dressing room of Saudi Arabia. Therefore, they believed that they could do something, especially against an Argentinian team who became sloppy because they were leading 1-0. And as Pablo was saying, if you underestimate an opponent in a World Cup, you're going to be punished. That's what happened today.
I totally agree. I think credit needs to go to Renard more so than criticize Argentina. And while you're absolutely right to criticize Argentina and some of their failures, I thought this was about Argentina. This was about Saudi Arabia coming up against one of the favorites to win this tournament. And the tried and tested method against the favorite is sit deep, soak up pressure, hope you get a chance. And let's be honest, any defense that includes Otamendi will give you a chance. But that Saudi Arabia never used that tactic. They played high up, played a very high line. Alawals and Ali's right, never really playing that sweeper-keeper role, so there was always big gaps. But they applied so much pressure to Argentina, rode their luck a little bit. Some of the offsides were very close, but I thought they earned that luck by their approach. And then they took their two goals in quick succession, as they did, had Argentina in the ropes. And this is my complaint around Argentina. For as good a run as they've been on, for all their successes over the last couple of years, they find themselves behind against Saudi Arabia. And for all the talent on that pitch, it seems we got to step back and let's just hope Lionel Messi does his magic.
Which is going back to what we've seen.
And which was my complaint around Argentina for so many years. For all that talent, everybody just seemed to down tools and hope that Lionel Messi would produce some magic. And Saudi Arabia simply weren't having it. They continued their high tempo, they continued to stay close to Lionel Messi, and then they got a result that nobody expected, but they deserved.
Hey, Jan, if Messi is the greatest of all time, surely he could take that responsibility. He could help that team today. He could drive them to victory when they're 2-1 down. He could be that leader that they needed.
Yeah, he could, but I think when we saw the game today, and it's probably a blasphemy, but Lionel Messi was just walking around, and he didn't contribute a lot today. He lost the ball as well at the goal. Need to be said, I think that Messi can get him back in it again, but this is, like the boys are saying, this is a shocking result. I love my football history, and for me, this is the third most shocking result we've seen in the history. USA beating England in 50, North Korea beating Italy in 66, and now this. But what is worth to say is that I think that if this wasn't Saudi Arabia, if this was Iceland or Sweden, we would have said we would love them. These are the new mascots of the whole football world. But Saudi Arabia deserved it today. They worked for every ball. And yes, the French coach with the unbelievable experience he got with the African team to do well. But a small fun fact, he got fired by Cambridge United. That is the black thing on his career. So
not only.
Not only, no, I agree. But what a win for them. And they just show them what is a cliche to say that what World Cup is all about. Because when you get these results and boys working so hard as Saudi Arabia did today, it's impressive and they earned the respect.
I love the work that Saudi Arabia put on the field, right? And I recognize the work of the coach and the tactical approach and the decision that they made. But a high line is not something that just all of a sudden he came up with. High pressure is not something that he just came up with, right? And it's not something that these players haven't seen from Argentina. And if you did your homework on Saudi Arabia, you would know that this was the tendency, that this is how they wanted to play. And so if you're coming prepared for that, then you should have ways to figure out how do we resolve it? How is it that we go about beating this? It's not, honestly, we sit here and we talk about the high line, the high pressure, and okay, we're not reinventing the wheel. This is something that has been done for years. It's risky, and that's why coaches don't do it. He was willing to take the risk. That's credit on them. But I still have to say, Argentina, with all those players, with all that talent, with all that experience, with all that space in behind, unable to exploit that, that's on Argentina much more so than it is on Saudi Arabia.
What was wrong with Messi today, Pablo?
Well, he was not his best performance. Of course, you were saying, I think when we lost Lo Celso, he was one of the key players for that team. Why? Because he was the one to bring a little bit of that creativity and to play alongside with Messi in between lines. We all know Messi is 35 now. He's not going to make runs in behind. And he needs players sometimes to play short and go from there. And we haven't seen anybody in Argentina today making a run from the second line. You know, it was very predictable. It was only Di Maria making those forward runs rather than diagonal runs, you know, in between full backs and center backs when it was no pressure on the ball and to give a chance to Paredes or the ball to play the ball in behind. It was, you know, Messi was... It was good in the first half, you know, one good chance that the goalkeeper made a good save, then the penalty, but obviously then it was nobody around him to play, to combine, and we haven't seen the best of Messi today.
You know, the thing is, the leadership is not always going to the best player. I remember in our time, you know, if Zinedine Zidane was a genius, he wasn't the leader. The leader were Didier Deschamps, were Laurent Blanc, and they were Marcel Desailly as well. And they were changing sometimes the tactic on the field. Or they were talking to the player, at least saying, well, you know, you come back, you go, you, because he has to be like that. Messi doesn't have the all possession of what the team has to do. The others have to work also. As you mentioned, you have talented players, you have experienced players. It's not only due to Messi to organize everything in that team, and to even the coach as well.
And then, yeah, just I want to say, yeah, we can talk about Messi. We can talk about them going forward. I mean, in the first half, they had three. It was tight offsides. There could be one or two goals of them coming. But the defense display this time of Argentina, it was one of my favorites before the World Cup. It was not because that I knew they could score goals. I thought they looked good at the back, but they looked terrible today. I mean, Martinez, yeah. Wow, 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 and the tackles before the 2-1 winner goal. It was two or three chances to stop him, and they still couldn't make it. So, yes, we can talk about them not scoring more than one goal, but conceding those two goals today, that was a bad, bad display by the Argentinians.
It's always interesting when you ask Ali to do player ratings, because you know... Not very generous. Let's take a look how low you went. Yes. You said Messi's the best player, Ali.
No, no, not quite. He was in the 2-3 category, but he did score a goal.
A penalty. So that, he scored a penalty.
Okay, well, okay. Did Lewandowski score a penalty?
Good one. Good answer.
Did Poland lose?
What's your point?
My point is that Messi needed to contribute more, and I think putting him ahead of everyone else because he scored a penalty
is slightly generous. Slightly generous. It's not like I gave him an 8.
No, I understand
that. Okay, so within the categories of 2s and 3s, he gets a 4 simply because he scored the goal. He scored a goal.
It's out of 10.
The game is to score a goal, right? Yeah. He scored a goal.
It's not out of 5, you know. But we have to mention, it's true that, as Jan explained, Romero, you know, was... I mean, I didn't expect such a bad performance from a central defender that I've seen doing his job normally. But him and Otamendi today, well, they weren't helped by Paredes and I forgot the other one in the middle of the zone because... Exactly. But in the second goal, you know, they are like 8 Argentinian players in a 16-yard box and no one is capable of stopping the players or doing something. It's not only, of course, the central defenders, but really, well, I think, the centre-back, sorry.
The reason I gave... Romero a 2 and Paredes and De Paul a 2 as well, is because when the team needed some sense of control through the midfield, these guys were nowhere to be found. That possession was no longer there. And when they needed them to defend in the tackle for the second goal, Paredes is late to the challenge and De Paul's version of defending is doing this.
Exactly.
That is embarrassing. Mm. And these are holding midfielders we're talking about. So if these are guys that are not going to run beyond Lautaro Martinez and get him behind because this is not what they do, then you have to be able to defend. And you have to be able to complete a pass forward, which neither one of these guys were able to do with any sort of consistency. Everybody else just 2s and 3s, including Lionel Scaloni. And the reason I give a 2 to Lionel Scaloni is because if you are the one that is making decisions for a team that was just... part of one of the biggest shocks in the history of the World Cup, then you're going to pay the consequences for that. So, 2s and 3s, Messi only gets a 4 because he scored a goal.
What happens, Pablo, against Mexico now? How much does he go, right, go and prove everyone wrong that you can go and you can get a result with that same starting 11, or does he make changes?
Well, it's something that Scaloni will have to see how the players are after today's game, if physically they are okay. Because that was one of my main concerns about some of the players that, you know, they have been some physical issues before the World Cup. Papu Gomez, Paredes been injury, Di Maria, Romero. So. They will have to see how they feel, how they are, because obviously this is the World Cup. There is no room for mistakes, and they have to go into the next game against Mexico without any doubt, and with the players being 100% physically and mentally. So obviously Scaloni, you have to see if maybe rather than Papu Gomez can bring McAllister, another player who's doing very well at Brighton. Lisandro Martinez, he's been in a great form for Manchester United, could be an option for Romero, Otamendi. Enzo Fernandez, we were talking about a midfielder coming more into the attacking box, a player to combine with Messi. You know, I think Scaloni now, he's got plenty of options. Julian Alvarez, maybe playing wide. He's done it at Man City before. But... obviously, in this next three or four days, Scaloni, with his all his assistant manager, will need to analyze something and see if they can keep the same 11 and trust the same players and give them a chance, or make two or three change for the next game. I don't know. We'll see.
We've covered a lot of reasons why it went wrong. I think the main one, obviously, is that Xhaka picked Argentina to win the World Cup. I think Pablo, you, of course, picked Argentina as well. I give the opportunity now to change your mind. Do you take it?
I won't change my mind. Plenty of confidence of Argentina.
Your face doesn't sell
I'm still
that.
Optimistic. I won it.
It's late in Qatar.
Because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's late. I've been awake since 8 in the morning.
Oh, wow. Oh. At least we have a lot of positive things to talk about.
Stop partying.
Come on. We all back in Messi, Scaloni, the team. Come on. Listen. And you showed before, in 1990 in Italy, we lost to Cameroon, the opening game for the World Cup. And then we still reached the final. So Spain lost to Switzerland in 2010. And then they won the World Cup. I mean, still time to recover. It's just one of those games. They're all professional. Yeah. That is football. Happy that it was probably something, it happened today, something that we need to learn from that. And hopefully we cannot repeat the same mistake in the next two games, because then if not, you're out. Simple as that.
Pablo, final thing, did you get the message that you're on extra time much later on in the show?
Around 4:30.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Pablo. Jan will say thank you for the moment as well. Jan will be back with us later on in the programme. It is ESPN FC on ESPN Plus, presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid. Mexico 0, Poland 0 is how it finished, of course, in the other group game. As we welcome in Sebastian Salazar, somehow I feel that if we had talked to Seb about Mexico, he's going to be more negative than Pablo was about Argentina. Oh, someone's muted Seb. Your wish has come true.
Finally.
We'll try and sort that out. 0-0, kind of a fair result, yeah?
Yeah, I suppose so. Mexico didn't do enough to win the game, but if somebody was going to win the game, it would have been Mexico up until Poland gets a penalty kick, and you're thinking Lewandowski. And let me just go back to the penalty by Lewandowski. The last time that we saw him take a penalty for Barcelona was against Almeria. It was when Gerard Piqué's last home game. Yep. The discussion then was, should Piqué be taking the penalty or not? In any case, Lewandowski took it then. And if you remember, he went with a little stutter step, hippity-hop thing, and didn't quite work out. Yep. So I was curious to see today, when he was taking the penalty, is he going again with the stutter step, hippity-hop? And he wasn't. So he, obviously, in his mind, changed the way to take penalties, because his recent history of taking penalties hasn't been all that successful. And somehow Memo Ochoa comes up with a save, which we don't know how big of a save this will be for Mexico, depending on what they do from here on out, but it could be a World Cup saving moment for Mexico and Memo Ochoa, thinking of a game in which they could have won, probably should have won, and at that point they could have lost it as well. Another thing I would say about Poland, we've seen some teams that are bad in this tournament. Qatar wasn't great. Mm-hmm. Iran wasn't great. Poland, for a team who you think would have enough players on the field to do something with some sort of semblance of structure and a plan, they were terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. And I mean, disappointing. You don't know exactly what is it that Poland's trying to do. It's just kick the ball out there. Maybe Lewandowski will do something and we'll hang on. Terrible and disappointing to see that sort of performance from Poland.
Can we talk about the penalty? Because we discussed that quite a lot yesterday, didn't we? And what the best technique is. But he went with you, went on the ground.
Yeah.
What went wrong? Don't say he got saved.
No. The thing is, they showed before the penalty, all the penalty that he scored for the national team.
Yeah,
and
10 out of 10,
wasn't
it?
He missed. The only one he missed was exactly where he pulled the ball.
Right.
You know, so maybe Ochoa was aware of that. But you don't take that chance. I mean, you have the more chance as a right-footed to score when you put on your left. And that's what it is. It wasn't strong enough. I think Ochoa work on that, you know, and trying to save it. And I have to say, the booing of the Mexican fan maybe disturbed a little bit Lewandowski, because I never heard something like that, and I was on,
well,
I was
you
on
must
TV.
Have been booed all the time.
Yes, but I, because
off the pitch, on the pitch.
Lewandowski is not booed anymore. Everybody cheers him up, you know. I've never been like that. I've been booed everywhere, so yeah. I was used to it. No, but I never heard, the ambience was absolutely crazy. But I think it was a soft penalty.
Right.
You know, it would have been on the floor strong, maybe Ochoa didn't have the time to react. Just want to say something about that game. We talked about Argentina. I mean, so in that game after, I say, well, Argentina, okay, they lost, but they're going to go through.
Right.
Because really, there was nothing. I didn't see anything let me think that Argentina cannot go through. So they're going to react.
And there was a tweet during the rounds, wasn't there, Shaq, about you, that Ochoa was at the same World Cup as you, kind of referring to how old you were. I don't know.
I'm not sure what anybody was getting at. He didn't play in 2006, but absolutely. Listen, I thought, and of course, I see the penalty saved totally differently. I thought, and to Ali's point, Lewandowski changes his run-up. I think the key thing from a goalkeeping perspective is the timing of that first step, or in this case, Ochoa's dummy step to his right. He times that perfectly just as Lewandowski's coming onto the ball. And Lewandowski, I think, is fooled by it and thinking that Ochoa is going to his right. So all he has to do is roll it to the goalkeeper's left without really hitting the side netting. And I thought Ochoa timed that perfectly. And as a result, the penalty wasn't what it should have been. He made the save, but it was all about, again, anticipating that hippity hop or lack of it. Mm. And for me, brilliant goalkeeping.
I'm hearing that Sebi's sound is now working, whether we like it or not.
Seb, looking at overall, lucky. Obviously this draw is significant considering what happened in the other game in this group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mexico now goes into a game against Argentina where Argentina will surely be desperate and needing all 3 points. But Mexico with a point could lose to Argentina and still go into that game against Saudi Arabia alive. To the points that some of the boys were making in studio, Frank, there was 90% Mexico fans there. That's according to Alexis Nunez. She did a live hit with us from the stadium on Football Americas. Memo Ochoa came out after the match and said he studied Lewandowski's penalties and had an inkling of where he was going to go. So clearly he had a jump on the great Polish striker there. I think there's another important thing. You know, Ale is pointing to how bad Poland look. Does Mexico get some credit for that, for bossing the ball for most of that first half? Even if it was the Mexico that we saw throughout qualifying have a lot of the ball, ultimately not be very dangerous with it, they did have the ball. They didn't allow Poland to do anything. And Lewandowski in that first half had one touch in Mexico's box. If you know anything about Mexican football, you know this team, not this team, this program historically has been brutal in the air and worse on set pieces. And in this game, against a player who you thought for sure would be dunking all over them, they locked him out of the game. And then on top of that, they were very clean on set pieces. I think, as a Mexico fan, there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this performance, about the point that you've taken, especially when it comes down to the moment for Memo Ochoa. That is going to be a huge boost for this team. And I can't overstate just how much negativity there was around this group coming into this tournament. It's a tie that may not feel like a win, but has a little bit of a taste of victory for Mexico.
Wow. Wow.
That is really glass half full. I thought this was a wasted opportunity for Mexico given the result by Argentina, in which now Mexico had a true, real opportunity to take control of the group. Now, in terms of locking out Lewandowski, it has very little to do with Lewandowski and everything to do with the fact that Poland couldn't complete 3 passes, and that had nothing to do with Mexico or Mexico's pressure. Poland, they had no plan whatsoever. The mismatches through the midfield, their inability to recognize moments in which there were 2v3s, 3v4s, and you're saying, okay, well, if we cannot complete the passes through the midfield, then let's go and hold it on the other side. Poland were just kicking the ball anywhere. Anywhere on the field. Now, Mexico, to their credit, yes, they were controlling the ball, but were they dangerous when they had the ball? Were they productive? Were they effective? Were they efficient in their attack? Did they create real, true opportunities? One or two, maybe, if that. I thought Mexico, while they had the ball, certainly in the final third, there wasn't much to highlight and much to talk about. And so for me, this is a wasted opportunity. I see it completely different than Seb. I think this was a wasted opportunity from Mexico to really control how they operate the rest of the group stage. Because now they go from potentially winning the group to potentially being out if they don't get the results that they need.
Did you ever feel that Mexico were going to score, Frank?
That who?
Mexico.
But in certain occasions, yeah. But overall, you know, I think it's fair because I didn't see a big level. I didn't see the level I was expecting, especially from Mexico. I knew Poland. I knew what they were incapable of doing. Crazy enough, playing football for me and not hoping for some penalties to come over. But I was expecting much more from Mexico, really. I'm pretty disappointed by the fact that they didn't create more, didn't put pace into the game. So I don't know that team. I'm discovering that team, and I want to see more because, I mean, Mexico, it's a big country. You should expect more for such a big country, for the craziness and the love of football that they have. It's not enough for a country like that. They should compete with Brazil. Really, they should compete with Brazil. There are so many kids playing for football. They should be much better than that.
I find first games of a tournament are such cagey affairs. And I think that's what was telling on Mexico for me. They became more concerned about not losing, especially after surviving a safe penalty, than going on to win the game. And let's be honest, Poland are not a good team. We saw that in the Euros. Don't quote me on this, but I think they got 1 point in the group stage here. Poland are not, by any stretch of the imagination, a good team. But Mexico came into this game just thinking, we don't lose. And as a result, even after the Saudi Arabia upset, didn't really adjust, I think, in their mindset. And as Ali points out, it may cost them.
Who's going through in this group, Seb?
I think Mexico is very well positioned now. I think there was a big concern that Argentina would win the first two games and Poland would get an Argentina that was already through to the knockout rounds and would be wasting resting players and would therefore then be able to have a more accessible point or even 3 points against Argentina. Now you know Argentina's gung-ho. They're going to be playing their very best team against Poland in that last game of the group. And honestly, as much respect and kind of surprise as I have for Saudi Arabia after they pulled the upset against Argentina, That's they play with fire with that high line. They got bailed out by VAR today, and credit to them. But if they try to do that against Mexico, Mexico has guys that can get in behind you. Chucky Lozano, Alexis Vega, Uriel Antuna is a speedster. He's not that good in the final third, but he's very fast. He can get in behind you, and he can cause trouble. So I think it sets up quite well for Mexico. And I hear everybody saying that, oh, Argentina is going to be desperate against Mexico, and that's going to make them play better. A desperate team does not always result in a better performance. You know, a desperate manager can make a mistake. A desperate player can make a mistake. And Mexico right now has an opportunity they never would have dreamed of in this World Cup. Two games in, Mexico, who were knocked out of the 2006 and 2010 World Cups by Argentina, can effectively eliminate Argentina from this World Cup and knock out one of the teams that they're fighting for those two spots out of the group. So I agree with the guys. You'd much rather have 3 points, especially when you bossed the game the way that you did. But to Frank's point, you're talking about a Mexico from 4 years ago, 8 years ago, the Mexico of your memory. The Mexico that we saw in CONCACAF qualifying play was never, ever dangerous. This is not the best version of Mexico. There's no Carlos Vela. There's no Chicharito. There's no Raul Jimenez from 2 years ago. I really don't understand why he's still on this roster. Tecatito has a broken leg. And you look at the subs that Tata Martino tried to bring on in this game. Again, Raul Jimenez a waste. Charlie Rodriguez shouldn't be anywhere near the field, and he doesn't bring Antuna until too late. So Mexico's not what they were and not what they have been. They're simply not as good, and they're simply not as deep.
A lot more from...
Who's going through, though?
He said Mexico.
Yeah, and who else?
Who's the other team that's going through, Seb?
Saudi Arabia.
Argentina. Mexico will win the group on 5 points. Argentina goes second with 4.
Okay, there we go then. For more from Seb, you check out the latest edition of Football Americas. They are live at 4 p.m. every day on ESPN. Why Seb in the middle, looking so smart?
Yeah. Oh, that's
you know
nice.
Who made that decision? Yeah.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire, you need Indeed. Now let's talk about the defending champions, shall we? Oh, it was such a brilliant start to this game. I was so excited.
Oh, you were brave.
Oh, yeah, you were brave, brother. Goodwin opening the scoring. France came out a little bit complacent, but obviously with that goal, it kind of gave them the kick up the backside, and they were brilliant.
They did the job. It's true that they started well for like 3 minutes, and then they lost it, and I said, what's going wrong? I have to say that Rabiot deflected the ball when Australia scored. Otherwise, I think Konaté or Upamecano would have gotten it. But the Aussies, they did something great. The first half, they had three big chances, and they could have created damages to the national team. I think the national team underestimated Australia at first, but they had a professional reaction. And overall, you know, they deserve. I mean, when you see Dembélé and Mbappé every time they have the ball, you say, I thought about Maguire. So, at a certain point, say, imagine Maguire one against one, and I texted you about that, you know, against Mbappé or Dembélé. Most players are going to have problems.
The French defense look really good.
No, of course not. Of course not. But I think they're a little bit quicker than Maguire. It's why I was taking that example. They did a job, and I'm so happy for Olivier Giroud. We didn't score any goals during the last World Cup, and he criticized about that. He scored two goals, did the job. Everybody was good, I have to say. I want to see what's going to happen to Hernandez, injury, and if he can carry on. But
they think it might be an ACL, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I'm afraid so. But really, nothing much to say except maybe defensively they have to improve their game. But the young team, it wasn't planned that Upamecano and Konaté will play in a centre back like 2 months ago for the World Cup. So many players are missing, Kimpembe, Varane, for example. But I like the reaction.
And you've got to like Mbappe as well.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to watch.
It's a pity that Craig is not here today.
because you do criticise him, his decisions and everything that's gone on, or the soap opera. But if you're just watching him for the first time, you'd be like, wow, this kid is special.
Wait, you sit up and pay attention. It's what he makes you do. And we see that time and time and time again. And so we just got done talking about Argentina and their inability to get in behind. Well, this is something that Kylian Mbappe can do very well. He can get in behind, he can show for the ball, a little dip of the shoulder, the move in which he dips the shoulder to the right and then takes a step to the left, and the defender's just like, oh boy, I can't get there. That change of pace, Atkinson, who was playing the right-hand side, he just couldn't keep up. He was doing whatever he wanted to do, and he was being effective with the movement, efficient with the movement. There was productivity behind it. It wasn't just a back heel for the sake of a back heel. It was a back heel because the play called for it, and he's able to execute it in the manner in which he did. Look, he could have had a hat trick himself today.
Yeah, I missed the first.
Regardless, it was an outstanding performance from Kylian Mbappe, and that element of speed, of athleticism that he has put together with the skill set that he has in tight spaces, over distance, this guy's unstoppable when he's playing like this.
I want to say just one thing that I didn't like. He could have killed the game just before halftime, where inside foot would have been enough. He didn't want to score. He wanted to score a nice goal.
Okay.
And that I don't like about his game, you know. Sometimes you have to be, not dirty, because it would have been a nice dive, like tackling the ball with the inside of the foot to secure. He wanted a nice volley in the top corner. Don't do that. Finish the game is what we are talking about. Finishing the game.
Does Mbappe prefer playing with Giroud or Benzema?
Mm. I think he likes playing with Benzema, but I think he cannot complain playing with Giroud right now, you know, and they can find each other. And he's, I like the work of Giroud and what he creates for the others. Like we were talking about Kane, in a different way, but he creates spaces for the others because he can attract, ask for the ball in his feet. And as Ali mentioned, Mbappé can go behind the defense. So you have options with Giroud that you don't have with Benzema. And of course, you have many options with Benzema that you don't have with Giroud. But I don't know, you should ask the question to Mbappé. But I think it's for both this situation very nice for Mbappé.
Consider what we said on this show, I don't think it'd be quick to answer.
Well, I can give you his phone number.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. No, that's all right.
By the way, the role of Antoine Griezmann. I'm not sure that you can get away with that playing against better teams with that sort of freedom and dropping into the midfield because he's going to be forced to defend once they get into the knockout stage and they're playing against better teams. Regardless, freedom to move, freedom to combine. And we saw Antoine Griezmann that was actually seemingly enjoying himself playing the game. When was the last time that we said that about Griezmann? It's not happening with Atletico Madrid. It was happening today with France.
But Ali, because Rabiot was doing also another job. He was going forward, like we were talking about Jude Bellingham, like Argentina was incapable of doing. He was going forward, and he was using the space. It's what he scored, it's how he scored, and it's how he brought something special.
Meanwhile, your tip, of course, to win the whole thing.
They lost?
No, but goodness me. They weren't exactly inspiring, were they?
But I, you know what? Credit to Tunisia. Again, I think they weren't ready to fight against Tunisia. And Tunisia did very well defensively. The goalkeeper was certainly the man of the match. He was very there. The defense was absolutely fantastic. We saw at the beginning of the game, one of the midfield players, you know, he tackled Eriksen. He was like scoring a goal. They were into it, Tunisia. They gave 120%. Denmark thought it would be easy. They underestimated Tunisia. They deserve to draw. And it could have been worse because Tunisia, you have like in Maghreb, you have players that play like Brazilian players. Sometimes they do too much. It's why maybe they're not as successful as Brazil, but they love that kind of jogada bonita. And you could see today, you know, nutmegs, dribbles. They're fantastic players to watch. They have a lack of consistency. They have a lack of finishing the action. But at the end of the day, they are a good team. And it's going to be difficult for France to play against Tunisia. Now, I'm not trying to find any excuses to Denmark because the Danes, they didn't do what they had to do to win that game.
They sure didn't look like a World Cup champion.
No.
Do you want to switch your pick?
Argentina,
Denmark. Denmark? Yes. No, not the Denmark. But if I had the option to switch, given what we've seen so far, absolutely yes. I thought Argentina were decidedly poor. And I understand that, yes, it's only one game and the history behind it. And they can still get out of the group and still go on to win the tournament. But I thought when they found themselves under pressure, nobody seemed to come up with answers.
What do you make of this 0-0, Ali?
Yeah, a little bit like that.
It was a lot to talk about. We don't even have to
fill talk. Yeah. No, we don't. Schmeichel had to come up with a big save.
I thought you would have enjoyed that. I did.
I think it was offside, the guy. I think the guy was offside, the striker. When he...
Give Schmeichel a save.
Yes, true.
Such a hater.
Yeah.
Denmark had that chance, didn't they? That was quite the miss.
The one where Cornelius, instead of just tapping in with his right foot, he just goes like this. What are you doing, bro?
What a sight that is for people tuning in.
I think he got scared by the defender. Why he didn't.
Well, he doesn't have to go for the header. Just go with your foot. The ball is down there.
You know, Cornelius is not that type of surely technical player. The header is more sure than the foot.
Just a reminder, extra time with you every single day. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel where we stay late to answer your questions.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Away from the World Cup, Manchester United stuck this tweet in during the Mexico game. Cristiano Ronaldo is to leave Manchester United by mutual agreement with immediate effect. The club thanks him for his immense contributions across two spells at Old Trafford. I love Manchester United. I love the fans. That will never, ever change how it feels like. The right time for me to seek a new challenge. Let's welcome in, shall we, Mark Ogden, who has been covering this story for quite a while. Mark, the one thing when I saw this, I thought, did they pay him off? Because it was £16 million, wasn't it, still left on his contract? Do we know any details about that?
No, as you'd expect, when money's involved, nobody's talking, but I've been told that it's not a massive payoff. There'll be a small recompense, but nothing like £16 million. I think Ronaldo's just happy to get out of there, and I think United are happy to get rid. And I think United had grounds to push this if they wanted to legally because of what's happened in recent weeks. So, yeah, he's gone without a massive payoff, but with the freedom to choose what he does next in January.
Okay, say that not Mbappe, but Cristiano Ronaldo phoned you up. Let's take a look at the odds with regards to his next club.
Chelsea?
Where would you tell him? Well, Chelsea are 9-4. Sporting, of course, going back to Portugal at 7-4. Where would you tell him to go?
You know, last summer, I thought Chelsea would have a chance to have him. And I thought because of the season that he had last season, it would have been a good idea to have him because Chelsea has really had something bad, you know, in the front line. But this season, with the season he's having, you know, I don't really want to see him. I think Sporting, where
he
started...
Why don't you want to see him when Chelsea need a focal point up front, need someone to get goals?
Because you will have to change all the game because of the attention that you have to give to Ronaldo. When he's on the field, you have to play for him. We talked about that many times. And he hasn't got the power of changing a game like he used to have. With all due respect, really, he was a fantastic player. But I think it's not the same, and that's clear, and we can see that. So maybe helping the team that he started with, Sporting Lisbon, would be a great idea.
Can you give Chelsea 6 months?
Given Chelsea's struggles, I think it makes sense. But just kind of given the last few weeks with Ronaldo, I'm not sure I'd take that chance. I'm with Frank. And earlier this season, I said, if I'm Chelsea, I'm taking that chance. I need a striker. Ronaldo is desperate to play Champions League football, desperate to prove that he's still worth taking that gamble on. But just given how quickly, how dramatically things unraveled, given the lasting impact that I think that may have on the Manchester United dressing room, I don't want that to happen at Chelsea. The only thing that makes sense for me here, it's Sporting, a sentimental return to where it all started. I don't think there's much sentiment anywhere else, including at Real Madrid, because as much as, well, yes, there may be sentiment there, he does not get into the starting 11, and you have the same issues there that you did at Old Trafford. So I'm not sure who's willing outside of Sporting Lisbon.
But he's got Carlo Ancelotti, who's worked with him before, who knows how to get the best out of him. Benzema, obviously, has been struggling for fitness this season.
Mm-hmm. No. I'm glad you tried.
Final answer.
Yeah, that's a no. No.
MLS?
MLS would be, for me, where Cristiano will find all the love.
Yeah.
Everything that he wants, everything that he asked for, MLS will put on the table for a guy like Cristiano Ronaldo. What he gave up what was really concerning for Cristiano Ronaldo at Manchester United is that he no longer had control over the decisions. He had no control over what happened on the field. He had no control. It was taken away from him. in MLS.
Yep. You're taking every free kick, every shot, you're doing whatever you want.
He'll call every shot there is to be called, and whatever team he decides that he's going to go to is going to become, we suppose, better on the field, but more importantly, a brand much bigger than what they are right now.
If he's clever enough, he will have to realize that he can play maybe very good 30 minutes at the end of the game.
Yeah, but you saw the interview. There was nothing about it.
Yeah, maybe he's going to change his mind now because that's something different. If he wants to play for a top team, nobody's going to take him to play at the beginning.
From what we've seen from him.
I know, I played with a fantastic player, a top player, George Weah. He came for Chelsea for 6 months, playing the last 30, 50 minutes, changing the game because of his mentality and his, of course, talent. And he was very happy to do so.
But did he do an interview 2 weeks before?
No,
saying
but...
Saying that he's still the best and this, that and the other.
Yeah, but that's sad for me. Because if he doesn't realise that he has... If he still wants to play for top club, with all due respect for Sporting, that's the only way that he can get a top club.
Right.
That's the only way. Because nobody, as you say, no coach... We'll try to get him because he's going to put a mess inside the dressing room if he's on the bench.
But that's a conversation he needs to have with himself, looking in the mirror and saying, Cristiano,
no,
the time is behind me.
Yeah.
Our best times are behind me. I can still be effective doing this role. Now, do you think that conversation is taking place?
No.
No.
It's like Frank looking in the mirror and saying, I won't mention I won the World Cup today.
Well,
it just never happens. No. It just does not happen.
I didn't mention it yet.
You just wait for that mirror.
Of course.
Mark, who's your money on?
I'm looking at that list, and Dan, we've said this before, but he really has nowhere to go that he would want to go. I think that's fair. I don't think he will get a club of his... of his aspirations. I think MLS is the best bet because, like the guys say, he would be the superstar there. He would be the guy that everyone would fall around, and he doesn't get that anymore in the Premier League or in the Champions League. He's not the player that he was. An amazing player, one of the world's greatest ever players, but he's 38 in February and it's beginning to show. So if he can find an MLS club that is prepared to, well, take him on and just take on the problems that come with him, you know, the high maintenance status, then that is the place to go. I mean, everyone seems to think that Lionel Messi is going to Miami next year. So... you know, MLS seems to make sense.
Meanwhile, what a day it's been for Manchester United. The front page of Manchester Evening News confirming that they've heard that the Glazers are open to offers now to sell the club. Where's this come from, Mark?
Well, United put a statement out tonight, Dan, the Glazers have, saying that they are exploring all options, and one of those options includes a sale. Now, that was within a statement which said they're looking at added investment, different opportunities, but within there was the word sale. So the Glazers are considering all options. I think one of the significant things in this is that they've enlisted the Rain Group, the bank that sold Chelsea. So they're using a bank that has actually recently sold a Premier League football club. Not only that, a bank that will have a long list of clients that are willing to buy a Premier League football club, wealthy clients. So for me, I think the Glazers have realised that, you know, it's an expensive time to borrow money now. They need to borrow money to rebuild Old Trafford. And nobody wants to say to the Glazers, here's £500 million, we'll sit in the background and leave you to make all the decisions. So they're kind of in a bit of a corner, really. They can't borrow, they can't find investors who are willing to give them all the control, so it may end up they have to sell. And I think if that is the case, they'll be celebrated in the street, in the red half of Manchester anyway, because, as we know, for 17 years, they've wanted the Glazers out.
How late is it there, Mark?
It's very late, Dan. It's now 23 in the morning, I think. So it's, late.
Do you want some more questions?
is Jules asleep or not?
thank you very much.
He's downstairs with Gab.
Oh, of course. Speaking of those two, of course, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast is available to listen to. And you like Gab's attire for all these podcasts as well, don't
really?
You, Frank?
Oh, yeah.
Look at those legs.
Oh,
awesome.
No. We don't want to see that.
Beautiful.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Meanwhile, of course, the US have it all to do after that 1-1 draw against Wales. They're in action on Friday against England, as it's now time for our camp report, brought to you by Modelo.
The U.S. men's national team returned to training at Algarafa barely 12 hours after their late-night 1-1 draw with Wales. U.S. coach Greg Berhalter addressed the group at the beginning of the practice, turning the attention forward to a Black Friday showdown with England.
You know, it is what it is. We just have to, you know, get back to the playbooks and, you know, fine-tune some things and, yeah.
A win would have set you up in a great position to advance out of the group. Mm-hmm. A draw leaves you in a little bit of a dicier spot. How do you look at the situation going forward?
I mean, we just have to think of it as a positive. You know, we didn't lose. In group stages, there's always two more games. So we just have to, you know, put this Wales game aside, fix what we need to fix, and then, you know, it's on to the next, for sure.
Gio Reyna remains the biggest injury concern for the U.S. with what the team is describing as muscle tightness. He didn't play on Monday, but did participate fully in the part of the session on Tuesday that was open to the media. Greg Berhalter says he does expect that Reyna will play a part in the game against England. In Doha, Sam Borden, ESPN.
Meanwhile, news coming out of the England camp. Harry Kane has gone for a scan on his ankle. We saw Tuchel take that knock in that victory against Iran. According to the bookies, England 2-1 on favourites to make it back-to-back victories. Meanwhile, it's all about Group E, isn't it, on Wednesday. Germany kick off their campaign against Japan. Jan is back with us. Leroy Sané out. How significant is that for the Germans, Jan?
It is significant because Germany is playing without a striker. So they're playing without a goal getter. They need all the players who can make a change out there. And Leroy Sané had some spell where he was not good, but he'd been good for Bayern. And he's one of the players that they think could make the big difference. So he's out for tomorrow. So they expect him with Müller in the middle, and you will have Gnabry, you will have Havertz in and around there. So that is a big loss for them. And it's also that type of player that you feel that could be very good at these kind of occasions in a World Cup, but you know that these kind of players will take the next step.
Jan, thank you very much. Jan will be back in a moment for extra time. Just a reminder of the other games that we're going to see on Wednesday. Belgium starting their campaign. They're in action against Canada. And the early game is Morocco against Croatia. We will be discussing all of those matches. Frank will be up early for the Morocco-Croatia game on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us. We're live here at 6 p.m. Eastern on Plus. Ooh, what a lot going on. That is it. So that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Stay tuned, though. I've got to find the questions. Hey. Extra time is next. This is FC Extra Time, brought to you by Globen. Hello and welcome into the studio. A lot going. Now, we just finished the live show. Why are you pointing at your ear at the end of it?
Now, I wanted to know, because I see many players, you know, with earrings.
Earrings, right?
So I was asking Shaka if he had earrings when he was younger. He said yes.
Right, okay.
And I was wanting to know, because you're very important in the show, so I want to know if you had earrings as well when you were younger.
Right, he's been trying to do the show, and you're asking me if I got my ear picked.
These are the important bits that we discussed during the show.
The gentleman was talking and explaining to us that everything is going right with America.
Right,
so
yes.
With the United States, so I said,
okay. So you saw Tim Weah's earrings.
So I saw Tim Weah with earrings with lots of players, yes, nowadays. So I was asking to the table if you bored by
did
that.
Did you have the diamond
stud? Important information. No, I never had a diamond stud.
What did you have?
I had a hoop. I had a gold hoop for a while.
Brilliant. Yes. Oh.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, very good. What about you?
Yeah, I had for a year. I was 18 years old.
Right.
And my doctor realized that it changed my position of my back because of the hole that they put. So he forbid me to...
How big was this hole?
It was a small hole, but really, when I was...
You had a big diamond.
I was playing for Laval. But he saw, you know, the two holes, the two bones that you have at the bottom of your back. When I was bending, they were not in the same position when I was wearing the earring, and it was the same when I was taking it off. You know what the pirates?
What on earth are you talking about?
The pirates. You know, we've called it reflexology. You know why the pirates had holes everywhere where they were wearing earrings everywhere? Because they were trying to find the one where they could see further up. That's why they were having earrings. A little bit of culture doesn't hurt.
So your ear piercing affected your back?
Yes. You know, it's called reflexology. Like you have everything, all the positioning of your body in your ear, like you have in your feet, you know?
Oh, that's all rubbish.
It's all rubbish?
It's all rubbish.
Can you explain the pirate again?
You're so much from the Occident. You know, you should read a little bit of Asia, you know, and the medicine of Chinese medicine.
So what's happened to your back now the earring's out?
Perfectly. I'm good.
Yes.
Oh, it fixed it.
Yeah.
No, it came back to normal. It was with the earring wasn't good when I was wearing it.
Can you explain the pirate thing again?
The pirates, they were having many, many holes with lots of earrings because they were trying to find the one where you can see further. The sight is better if you.
And why do they have a parrot on their shoulder?
That's something else. That's something.
Does that keep them on
balance? I don't have answer to everything.
Right, I see. Did you have your ear pierced? Let's just ask Jan some important questions here.
No, but I never had an earring and I never had a tattoo after my dad, who was a sailman, he was from a ship from he was 15, made Norway on his hand. And then after 30 years, he told us it was not Norway. It was a name of a girl called Norun. And let's put it this way. Boys, let's put it this way. My mom is not called Norun.
Right.
So that was not my mom.
Okay, we will connect the dots.
All right.
Where are you, Jan? You look like you just sat in a corridor somewhere.
Yeah, I'm always in a corridor. That's my life. I'm a person in corridors. And now I'm in Salzburg, in Austria, in Wolfgang Amadeus and Eine kleine Nachtmusik.
Wow, why are you there?
Too much culture for Dan today.
Shut up.
With the pirate
because,
and the
because ESPN wanted a guy who won the World Cup and going to the studio with a pullover, and I couldn't do that, so I had to go to Salzburg.
Wow, right. Okay, I thought didn't you wear that 2 days ago? Does it not
that
smell?
No. And if I would, I would have cleaned it in between, you know.
Right.
But I had a black one 2 days ago, a coral one yesterday.
Right.
And that's a blue one.
That looks black.
No, it's blue.
You look
blue. It's
you
a dark
well.
Blue. Blue. Yeah. And tomorrow going to be a grey one. Oh. And the more you're going to criticize the way I wear.
I just was worried about the smell.
No.
I can clean it. Don't worry.
Okay.
That's good. I'm a little insulted that you didn't ask me if I had an earring or not.
Well, yeah.
I didn't want to hurt my back. I was taking care of my back.
Oh, right. Frank, were you sleeping during the boring and predictable Argentina-Saudi Arabia game? I believe that's how you described it would be yesterday.
Well, and I wasn't the only one. You know, I have names of people who didn't watch the game.
Right.
And of course I was watching it.
Yes.
No. I watched it after.
Okay. Because what was
can
it?
Can we do that?
Was it fine? You can do whatever you want as long as you bring in insightful analysis.
Oh, well, yeah. Did I miss something while during the show? Or you had the feeling that I wasn't aware of what happened?
Well,
no.
The whole show is just going to be dominated by earrings and backs. For Shaka, will you change your prediction of Argentina winning the World Cup?
Yes.
Who are you going to go for?
Brazil.
Wow. That was quick.
My God.
That was the end of that.
The thing is, I want to know if Seb thinks that Argentina won't qualify.
That's not Seb, that's
no,
Jan.
Sir, no, but we had Seb before.
Yeah, no one cares about Seb. No. He's not on.
Yeah, but can we talk in general? You only talk with people who are there?
Well, because people are watching Extra Time and they don't really know what else you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so they don't care about the show before?
Well, we try and make it
Okay, go on.
But Seb said that Argentina...
Seb that Mexico will go
with Argentina?
With Argentina?
Yes, were you not listening?
No, because I don't think... I think Saudi Arabia is going to win against Poland because we saw Poland and there is no way they can win against Saudi Arabia.
Okay, so who have you got going through?
I think Argentina and Saudi Arabia.
There we go. Perfect.
Right. We got there in the end.
For Frank, how did losing to Senegal in 2002 impact the psychology of the squad? And do you think there could be a similar impact for Argentina?
Well, it was awful, but we didn't expect it too much because we were, I think, at the end of a cycle and we didn't have a good preparation. We lost just before the World Cup. We lost against Belgium at home 2-1. We weren't there. We weren't, right. We weren't ready.
You didn't play, though, did you?
I played that game, yeah.
With or without Eri?
With, I guess, because I was so horrendous that I think I just paid attention. I think I didn't think enough. No, but
the
I think
pirates.
I was playing with a parrot, you know. Something, you know, with a curse, you know.
Time pissable.
Yeah. But we hit the post twice, but you remember that during that World Cup we had Thierry Henry, Nicolas Anelka, and I think the best, and David Trezeguet, three fantastic strikers. Three games we didn't score one goal.
Wow, yeah.
That was yeah. An awful World Cup
for us. Was there fighting within the camp?
No. Everything was good.
No, the French never do that.
I think we were cooked. I think we were completely cooked. It was the end of. I think the coach should have taken the possibility of saying, you know what, Frank, maybe some others. I won't name names, but that's why I put my name on first. You know what? It's okay, but you're quite old, so go with your family on holidays and it will be better. It should have said that, yeah.
No, it's a very good point in the preparation. I think that you will see with the German national team, they have always good preparations. So when they have 3 weeks coming off to championship, we know that they will be better as a team. And this time Germany, like every other team, don't have it. And I think that's going to be a disadvantage for Germany, as Frank is talking about. The preparation is important. And like Germany, always been good in that. So I think that could be a difference to this World Championship.
Germany didn't get out of the World Cup group the last time, did they, Jan? Not meaning to spoil the story. Ali, how far does the US need to get in this World Cup for you to consider it a successful tournament?
Ooh.
Also, please explain why Bert Hazel didn't sub in Gio Reyna. Help me understand.
Okay. Let me start with the latter question there. What are the? Which one is the first question? Is Gio Reyna? No, Gio Reyna.
That's the second question.
Okay. Let me start with Gio Reyna. I have no idea. Unless there is an injury concern, and I suppose that Berhalter would be the one to have that information. According to Gio Reyna, he's 100% and ready to go. The game was screaming for a player like Gio Reyna. The United States were struggling to keep possession of the ball, to transition the ball forward, to take advantage of counterattack opportunities that had opened up. If that's not the profile of Gio Reyna, I don't know what is. That is exactly who he is, a guy who can run with the ball, who likes to get out in space, who has the personality to show into spaces and say, hey, give me the ball, I know what to do with it. I have no idea if indeed he was healthy as to why he was not in the field. As to what is a successful World Cup for the United States, get out of the group. And that's it.
Right.
Whatever you do after that is a plus, 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 bonus, bonus, bonus. Get out of the group. That's successful.
Did you watch it with Alejandro? Is he a big US fan?
Oh, yeah. He's living and dying with every kick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's a little disheartening.
Well, I suppose he hasn't got anyone else to support.
Well, he did once. And he didn't support like that.
Frank, would you have loved or hated the now 2.5-hour games at this World Cup? I've calculated 127 minutes in 8 games. Of course, the additional time is now longer because they're being stricter. Yes.
No, it doesn't bother me. Watching it doesn't bother me because it's only fair, you know, because you have 5 substitutions.
Well, why wouldn't you want to watch more as well?
As a player, no, I would have been okay with that. You know, it is what it is, and I like the fact that they paid attention to people, you know, trying to slow down or gain some time, you know. So I'm good with that.
Yeah, and what do you think? I don't see what the big deal is. Like, we want more football. That's good. We're getting it.
I think it's interesting to see that I've heard that all former footballers, they like it because it's something about our game. If someone delaying it, it should be done. And we were criticizing the Premiership when they spent 2.5 minutes at the VAR bus and they didn't give not enough extra time. And I saw the instruction that Colina has given to all the referees now. They have a good way of doing that. And if that is the way to change it, I think the net time is netto, we say in Europe. Net time is 60 minutes. or 57 minutes, that is not a lot of 90 minutes of a football game. So I like it. The only thing now at the first tournament that is seen through, it's a bit interesting to see when we come in the 88th minute and we know there could be 12, 30 minutes to play and then do something with our head at the end of the games.
I think the problem is because you have four games during the day, you know, if you have on top of it, you have those extra time. Yeah. If you have a meeting or something to do, you know, in
what
between.
Do you? What do you have to do?
I'm not always talking about me. I'm talking about the people complaining about, you know, loving football and not being able to maybe have a lunch in between.
Reflexology. Yeah, we have a reflexology appointment to sort this back out. Next thing he misses
it. I had a foot massage this afternoon.
Around
10:30 for until 11.
Where did you go to the place in town?
Yeah, Aroma.
How was it?
Very good.
Yeah?
The guy was very good.
Wow.
And tonight I have a complete massage, 1 hour.
What a life right in the book class.
Well, you know what? He hurts my head, and I guess he hurts my body to be too much close to you, I guess.
Oh, wow. You need a lot of...
I need to relax.
Did the Pirates get massage, Frank? Did the Pirates get massage?
No, I ate it.
Okay, right. Before this gets dangerous. For Frank, which former teammate from the 1998 French squad do you believe was instrumental but oftentimes doesn't get enough credit or recognition for France's deep run and eventual victory?
Frank Leboeuf.
Definitely. Frank only played, one game?
Yes, but he was instrumental.
Played three games, turned two and a half Renato games. Renato
but he was instrumental, Dan. You're missing the point.
Is it three games? No, two and a half. Two and a half games.
2 and 20 minutes.
But he was instrumental. You're missing the point.
Who should get more credit? I think in the old tournament, I think everybody saw Zinedine Zidane and everything. I think the two best players of the competition were Marcel Desailly and Emmanuel Petit.
Oh, wow.
And I remember when we finished the game, Jimmy Jacquet came onto Emmanuel Petit, hugged him, and they say, "What a World Cup you played. You were the best."
Wow.
Yeah, really. I think Emmanuel
Petit... Were you in the court of coffee?
Excuse me?
Where were you?
Excuse me.
At least I was a little bit on the field. Where were you?
Bonjour.
No, but I think Emmanuel Petit was absolutely fantastic. And it was just a reward for him to score that third goal, even if he scored against Denmark before. But what he did for the team, how it worked for the team was exceptional.
Final question for Shaka. What's it like being in the World Cup camp? What do you guys even get up to? P.S. That clean sheet against Sweden is still goated.
Oh, is it?
Wow, look at that smile. Look at that smile.
And we're talking about ego.
You have a lot of free time.
Yeah, because did you have the
look
incident?
Look at it. Hey!
Look at this form.
Frustration.
Look at that. Don't come to me. Just take it easy. I got this.
Because there was no internet back in those days, was there?
No, there wasn't.
No, so what did you do with yourself?
What a body!
I worked on my physique, Dad.
Well, that has changed.
I haven't seen that.
No, that's not fair.
Yes.
Look at home, Shang. Wow, the gun show. I see words on the guns.
Classier than before.
Yes, well, yeah.
So what did you do?
What did we do? We stayed in a small town, Rottenburg on the Tauber or something like that, up in the north of Germany. Middle of nowhere.
Right.
So there really wasn't a lot to do. We played cards. Everybody had a bike, so you could go into town, but there wasn't. So you just kind of kill time, to be honest.
Right, okay.
You really just kill time.
What did you do?
In France?
Yes.
I got some tan because I had some time. So we were in the castle where we always prepare, and it's really in the middle of nowhere. It's like 50 right. kilometers from Paris, and you have nothing to do. But sometimes, as a substitute, you are so frustrated that I was kind of escaping in the middle of the forest, and I was getting a hack, you know, to smash some trees because I was getting upset. I didn't say anything to anybody, never say that, but, but it's true. It's true, yeah, because...
Where are you going with that axe, Frank?
Anger management.
It's only four trees. It's only four trees. But you want to do something. You only have training session, you wait, you are just, you serve the first team, the first 11, you feel useless. But,
right.
And but so you have to do something.
Go on, Jan.
Yeah, it can't be worse than Norway did when we went to the 1994 World Cup. We went powwow games in New York and in Washington. That was the warmest World Cup ever. The humidity over 120%. We trained twice a day, and then one of the boys said, well, we have to, this is a bit boring, let's make a tennis tournament. So we made a tennis tournament in the middle of the day, and there was these pale Norwegians running around in the sound. We were so drained, that was unbelievable. So we were not doing well at that World Cup for different reasons, but the sun and the preparation was one of them.
We played cricket, I remember we did that.
Oh, of course.
So we're in this small little town up in the north of Germany, as I say. Bunch of us playing cricket, nobody has an idea what's going on.
No.
But it was...
They must have embraced you, did they?
So after the Sweden game, we fly back. We don't get back to Rottenburg till 2:30 in the morning. And the entire town is waiting outside the hotel.
How cool is that?
Oh, we're trying to bagel flags. Yeah. It's like 2:30 in the morning. And they really, really embrace us. Brilliant. And it was really nice. And as I say, small little town, couple little coffee shops. You just go and then people know you after that and say hello. And they just kind of really embrace. It really was a fantastic experience.
Was Frank there with an axe waiting for you as well?
So what did you do for years in Columbus?
Oh.
I just want to know. Where is Columbus?
There are a lot of trees in Columbus.
I know they're playing yellow.
That is it.
Wow.
Special hello to Steve Nicol, who came into the studio today thinking he was on.
Yes. No!
That, what time's your appointment for the massage?
That's none of your business, because I don't want you to bother me.
What do you mean,
to appear? you live not too far from there. So I don't want to see
you. Wake up and Dan is giving you a... Oh, never mind.
You're not welcome in Columbus, I'll tell you that much.
Wow. Oh, no! I'm so upset.
Just won the World Cup.
That's it. We are done.
Oh, we sure?
I think we avoided any HR obstacles.
Not sure about that.
Just cut Jan's mic. We will be back with you tomorrow, live 6 p.m. Eastern once again here on ESPN Plus. What colour will the turtleneck thing be?
Grey, I think, tomorrow.
Oh, grey.
How exciting for everyone.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.